Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. The congregation scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the 91st Psalm, Psalm 91. Let us first sing from Psalter 203, stanzas 1 through 5, in sweet communion. Lord, with thee I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. 1 through 5 of Psalter 203.
Before we read from God's holy word, we wish to read the law of God as it can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We wish to read Psalm 90 out of the book of Psalms. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, thou givest us one more Sabbath day that we may begin together. We know not what a day may bring forth. We know not whether we come to the end of it. But to begin it we may, and we may be brought up once again in the beginning of this thy holy day to gather round about thy word of truth. So many times thou hast bestowed upon us labors in the year that is almost gone, and this day that is speaking unto each and every one of us, that there is a last labor, that there is a last Sabbath day, that there is a last preaching, that there is a last opportunity to be had in this life, that the labors that thou bestowest upon us, they will come to an end. And we shall look back upon those labors. We shall look back upon that word that has been brought unto us, that we have heard with our ears, that has entered somewhat into our minds. Lord, we shall give an account to thee for every word. Who can stand before thee? For so much of it we have forgotten. Though we have preached it or though we have heard it, so much of it has gone to the wayside. Has there been anything that has been to our humiliation? Has there been anything that has been to our conversion? When we will come to our end, and we shall look back upon all that we have received in this life, all the blessings in this world, all the riches, all the comforts of life. They shall be compared with all those labors that thou hast bestowed, all the desires of our heart, after the things of the time and of the flesh. O Lord, thou knowest how that it shall all fall away. And what shall then be the greatest riches that we have received here below, when we have received no profit out of thy word? Lord, we beseech thee, upon this last Sabbath day, that thou may yet remember us with our children. Oh, there was one more time, that there was one opportunity that thief did see that he had, his life that was drawing to a close, and soon that would be cut off. But there was still an opportunity for a few moments, that there may be one more cry, one cry to thee. O Lord, remember each and every one of us. Oh, that we may be given eyes to see the urgency, the seriousness of our life, because it is a time that flies away, and that we may commemorate birthdays, each one of us, And then we may see each time again that our life that flies away. Oh, bring these things into our souls with a true conviction of our sin. May it be in this Thy holy day. Oh, that in this day, if it has never been before in our life, that our eyes may go opened, and that we may be given to see what we have become in and through that deep fall in our father Adam. Give us to abhor ourselves this day. Oh, give us to repent this day. In dust and in ashes before Thee, before that it is forever too late. And cause that Thy word may receive a place that it has never received in our life. Wilt Thou look on us when Thy word that is brought once again, when Thou wilt give it? Remember those that bring it over the length and the breadth of the whole world. Wilt Thou cause it to go forth with power and with freedom, and that Thou may feed also Thy people? For Thou knowest what they stand in need of when we do not. Thou knowest the place where they dwell. Thou knowest the burdens that are living within their heart. And Thou knowest the hunger and the thirst when it is there, because then it is given by Thee. And Thou knowest the sloth that is there from our side. And when it is so deserving that Thou wouldst never speak anymore, wilt Thou be to them a surprising God? And wilt Thou supply for all those who have needs known unto Thee in this life? There are widows. There are widowers. There are those that mourn. Oh, remember them in a special way in these days. In all the missing, wilt Thou bring them to Thy footstool and give them to experience Thy nearness and Thy favor and Thy communion. Supply for the sick. And there are those that have serious diseases. The messages have been given unto them. And wilt Thou remember them where they are? When from the side of men, then it can be so impossible. Not only for the needs of the body, but also now for the need of their soul, then it can be that they do see what they have neglected. In the days of health and of strength, that they see all their great foolishness, the hardness of their heart, and maybe a way wherein their heart despairs. Oh, look on them and cause the afflictions to grant them a place at Thy footstool, that they may be given to draw near in all their unworthiness, but also in all their need. Remember those that are in the prisons, those that are innocent, those that are guilty. Remember all those that have needs of the mind, And thou art also the creator of the mind. O thou knowest the needs thereof, that thou mayest supply for them, and that thou mayest draw them also unto thyself. Lord, remember those that wander, brought up under thy truth, no more desire, only to serve this world. A mourning father, a weeping mother, wilt thou hear their cry? And wilt thou supply and bring as the prodigal of old, with a need and a sorrow and a true repentance? Remember those that study for the ministry, and all those that do instruct them beyond their right and on their left. Our brother also in our midst in these days with his family, grant him a little rest in these days and what is necessary when he will return again. Could it please thee to show thyself as his instructor and for each and every one of them? Wilt thou send also more servants into that vineyard? Look on us also. Thou knowest our needs, and the need of our body. We need strength from above, that thou may give us every moment that strength that is necessary, that we may do our labors. Also in these busy weeks, Lord, uphold thou us and bring us through it, that we may be enabled by thee. But may it not be without a blessing in the midst of us as a congregation. Then for what are all the labors? Then it will only testify against us. Oh, remember us then in thy mercy, and be with us in thy grace. Remember our brother who labors in Calgary in this morning. Wilt thou help him? And wilt thou be with us with thy favor and thy presence, in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 198, 1, 2, 3, and 7. O God, be thy anointed Son with truth and righteousness endowed, and that justice may on earth be done, the meek protected from the proud. The last collection today is for the Bethesda Building Fund, Psalter 198, 1, 2, 3, and 7. Beloved congregation, we have heard out of God's word, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thus, there is a secret place. A secret place of the Most High God. The Lord said to Moses, there is a place by me. Is that not a wonder? There is a place by me. That is a secret place. That is a place that is not revealed to everyone. That is a place that this world does not know. But it is also a place that is known by some in this world. What a place that must be. That place by Him. That secret place, what a safe place, what a place of rest, what a place of repose. Is there any desire in our heart that we also may come to know of that place that is by Him? Also, when we have come to the last Sabbath of this year, and when all the Sabbaths have now gone by, and all the labors they have been on us bestowed, and then are there those who have come to know something of the smallest place in that place that is by Him. We wish with the Lord's help to consider something of this with you together in this morning hour out of the words of our text, which you can find once again in Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20. And thereof, the first part of the sixth verse. Joshua 20, verse 6, the first part. And he shall dwell in that city. So far the words of our text. Dwelling in the city of refuge. First, what it means to dwell there. Second, the command to dwell there. And third, the blessedness of dwelling there. Dwelling in the city of refuge, first, what it means to dwell there. Second, the command to dwell there. And third, the blessedness of dwelling there, and he shall dwell in that city. Who? That is the manslayer. Is that then a punishment? What do you think, young people? Is that then a punishment? We know what that picture is. We have heard it in the weeks gone by. Say that is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you still say, I do not see any beauty there. I do not see any form there. I do not see any comeliness there in Him. That is maybe to you a punishment that you have even to come, boys and girls, to the house of the Lord. You would rather do something else, maybe. Christmas Day, we have to come up two times. New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. That is so much in the house of the Lord. Is that now a burden? Was that now a punishment to that man? That is maybe how that would have been seen by everyone that was not himself a manslayer. Everyone who was not personally acquainted with the vengeance and with the curse of that law of God. But how was it for that manslayer? For him it was such a wonder. It was a great wonder that there was such a city. And he was ready to leave father and mother and children and brethren and sisters and houses and lands for his sake, that he may come to dwell in that city. And he shall dwell in that city. So, that speaks about a certain union with that city. We read that in Numbers 35, but if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge. Thus, there was to be a union between that man, that manslayer, and that city. And that man, he was not to break that union. There was no place of safety for that man outside of that city of refuge. He had no safety in and of himself. Thus, we have that picture. And that picture of that union that is necessary with Christ in order that there may be safety for a guilty man. Thus, it was not only necessary that Christ would come into this world, but the Lord, he says, there must also be a coming into him. There must also be a dwelling in him. There also must be a union with him. Thus, there is not only an objective grace, but there is also that which is subjective that must be given to each and every one of us in particular. And he shall dwell in that city. That was the desire of the Father, that there would be a union between Christ and his people, that they would be joined together. That is the reason that he has decreed the fall. Because he has desired this union. And this union that was not possible through that old covenant. But that union that was only possible through that new covenant. That was a union desired by the Father. That was a union that was attained by Christ. That was, we have heard it, when He gave Himself to become a man, that He joined together His divine nature with His human nature, with our human nature. Thus, His incarnation. That there should be a union. That there should be a joining together. He is said to tabernacle among men. That they may dwell together. We read of Him as the head of His church. And His people, they are His members. Thus, they are together one body. That is that union that He has effected by His incarnation. Desired of the Father and brought about by the Son. And now that has in a personal way to be affected for each and every one in particular by whom? By the Holy Spirit. That is that union. He is called the Spirit of Adoption. Why? Because we read, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Thus Christ, He says, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me. And I in Him. By that Spirit, Christ is dwelling in His church. And He never leaves His church. It is true, He said to His disciples, I go away. And He says, I go unto the Father. But at the same time, He also has said to them, lo, I am with you always. Thus, there is no falling outside of grace. There is a union. And that is a union that can never be separated again. Why not? Because that is a covenant that has been sworn between two unchangeable parties. Not as Adam, who could fall, but sworn between the Father and the Son. Thus, that covenant that is forever unbreakably sure. And He shall dwell in that city. What does it mean then? When a man would no longer dwell, a manslayer, that he would no longer dwell within that city of refuge. Does that mean that a man is able to fall out of that grace? Does that mean that a man can be born again and then after some time and that he loses that spiritual life? No. No, it does not mean so. But there is a difference between the state of a person and his condition. Are you married? But how is the condition of that marriage? Thus, they are two different things. Then it is possible that a person who is legally married, he says, it is in a practical way for me, just as if that I am not married at all. Thus, it is one thing for a man to be safe from the side of the Lord, and it is another thing for a man to experience that safety in a practical way day by day. And he shall dwell in that city. How does a man dwell in that city of refuge? Well, he dwells in that city by faith. Salvation, we read that is by grace through faith. Is faith all the same? No. Because our children will say there is what, boys and girls? There is a historical faith. There is a temporary faith. There is a miraculous faith. There is a true saving faith. And then, when we'll think about that true saving faith, that is all the same in its being, it is all the same in its essence, but it is not all the same in its degrees and in its exercises. Because we can read of a faith that takes refuge, that goes out, and we can read of a faith which is assured. The Lord Jesus, he says sometimes, O ye of little faith, and at other times, I have not seen so great faith. Thus, there is a difference also in the exercises of that true saving faith. How was it now for that people that are within, who are dwelling in that city of refuge? Then there are those in that city that have only maybe that temporary faith. There are those who may have that refuge-taking faith. There are those that may have a more assured faith, but we actually cannot see this until we come to the judgment. That is actually for next time. Thus, this time, we wish to see only how that faith, that true faith, that is actually joining a man unto that city of refuge. What is now that first union that is experienced by God's people with that city of refuge? the first union, by that manslayer. That is, in the first revelations, that is, in the first manifestation of Christ to their soul. You say he is not yet in that city. He is still on the outside of that city. That is true. Thus, that man, he is yet far from that city. And yet, there is a joining to that city. How is that possible? Well, there is a joining to that city in the need for that city. There is a joining to that city in the love for that city. Two young people are joined in the bond of holy matrimony. Is it that day that their heart strings have begun to be tied? I think not. But they have begun to be tied long before. And the manner in which they began to be tied, that is essential to the well-being of that marriage. Thus, there is a union in those two young people before that marriage is solemnized in a legal way. And that is now such an important union because it is that union of love, which is drawing them more and more together. And it is bringing them finally to that day in which their hearts may be gladdened in the solemnizing of that marriage. In the first revelations of the blessed mediator, by a true faith on the outside of that city, what is experienced in the heart of that people, there is gladness. Gladness. How is that possible? The avenger of blood is behind them. They are not safe, but they are glad. How is that possible? It is possible. It is reality. Ask God's people. And why? Because what is faith? There are three aspects to faith: knowledge, assent, and trust. And it is in that first revelation of Him wherein that people first begin to know Him, to know Him as He truly is, that is the Son. And it is the first time in their life that their heart assents, that their heart agrees, that it agrees with, not my way, but it agrees with His way. Thus, knowledge, assent, and last, trust. Trust. That is to lean. That is to cast the burden upon His shoulders. Have the people then, with that first sight of Him by faith, lost their burden? No. They have not. Bunyan, he shows that men coming into that wicked gate, that is a picture also of that first revelation. And he is asking goodwill, can you take off this burden upon my back? Thus it was not gone. And yet that man said, I rejoice. I rejoice and tremble. How is it that in that moment that people can rejoice? The Lord, by His servant, He says, I drew them with the cords of a man and with the bands of love. And I was to them as they that take off the yoke from the jaws. What does that mean? Children, then you see that oxen, and there is on them a yoke, and then that farmer, he is giving to them for a little time a reprieve, a rest. He is lifting that yoke. It will come back again. But for a moment, that yoke is lifted. And so that is with that people to whom the Lord is opening their eyes for that mediator with all their burden. No, that burden is not gone, but that burden is for a moment made lighter. Because in that sight by faith, then they may already taste something of that blessed shoulder. And it is that rest that is drawing that manslayer, that he may one day come also to dwell within that city. That he is drawn to run unto that city. That he is drawn to seek that secret place in his holiness. To be hidden there. That he may seek that place, that whole burden that may be laid upon his shoulders. That he may seek that secret place of his communion, of his strength, of his safety, of his exaltations. And he shall dwell in that city. That is, in the second place, also the command of whom? That is the command of the Lord. It is the command of the Lord who has given to that people that city. Who has appointed that city. Command to whom? That is the command to that guilty manslayer. What kind of command is that? That is not only to run there. That is not only to go there. But it is a command that he would dwell there. That he would stay there. That he would remain there. In that city. Thus, if dwelling in that city is by faith, then what is that command to dwell there? Then that command to dwell there is unto that people a command to exercise that faith. And they shall dwell in that city. There are many people in this world who pretend and exercise the faith. But if that faith is not planted, if that faith does not exist, if there is no disposition already to faith, then the exercise of faith, you understand, is impossible. How is it with that manslayer? It is not so. It is not so. Why not? Because that man, he knows something of that planting. We do not become a manslayer outside of faith. Because faith, that in its first steps is taking hold of the existence of God, of the character of God, and of the law of God. And it is by that law and by the believing in that God and that law that a man is becoming a manslayer. And not only so, but it is by faith that that man has received those first revelations of that Son of God. It is faith that has given him that moment of joy. Moment of joy. It is faith that has opened his eyes to the mysteries that are contained in that holy word of God. And it is faith by which his affections are touched, are drawn. Because otherwise, they are not drawn. Thus, hope that has been planted in his soul. He will not forget it. And he shall dwell in that city. What does the Lord now say? The Lord, he says to that people, you must now go back. You must go back to that moment when I have shown myself to you. You must go back to that moment when your soul that was given eyes to see, when in the gladness of your heart, that knowledge of my only begotten Son, then your heart has assented. And even that in just in a small way, the smallest way, that you have felt a little bit of that lifting up of that yoke upon your jaws. Oh, that even in the sight of him, You could feel something of the lifting of that burden. Thus the Lord is referring His people back. And He says, ye shall now dwell in that city. Ye shall remain in that city. Ye shall stay in that city. Not lose that place. That is the command to the continuing of the exercises of faith. How short-lived. How short-lived are those blessed exercises of faith. They are moments. The bride, she says, I found Him whom my soul loved. I would not let Him go until I had brought Him into my mother's house. Such precious moments, sitting in the house of the Lord, the eyes going open, and a man saying, oh, just leave me here. Just leave me here. Minister, keep going. Keep going, keep going. In a secret place in your home. And afraid to come up off your knees. Lest you lose that precious moment. Simeon. He said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Why? Oh, he says that this may now continue. That this may now continue. What was he given to see? Mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. And it is in that moment that that people, they may have a little desire to depart out of this world. Why? Simeon knew that if he remained, it will go away. Because that exercise, oh, that is a gift of God. That is a gift of God. Not only the disposition, the ability, but also the exercise. And then experience to be so precious and so blessed. And they cannot hold on to it. And yet the Lord is commanding it. Why? Oh, for the blessedness of dwelling in that city. Let us sing. 159:2-4. In thee my soul hath shelter found. And thou hast been from foes around the tower to which I flee. And within thy house will I abide. My refuge sure, whate'er betide, thy sheltering wings shall be. 2 and 4 of 159. and he shall dwell in that city. Why? Because the exercises of faith, of true faith, they are pleasing unto the Lord. Children, I want now, boys and girls, I want now to ask you a question. So you have to think a little bit. Children, you are all listening. You know Mephibosheth, right? Mephibosheth, he was lame on both his feet. And King David, he said that Mephibosheth, he shall eat at my table continually. Do you remember what Mephibosheth said? He said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" You remember that, children? I have a question for you. That was to the honor of King David. That was to King David's honor. What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? How? Can you tell me that? How was that to the honor of King David? I think that some of you will say in your mind, you will say, David, he is honored by Mephibosheth as a merciful king. A merciful king. That was to his honor. When the shepherds, they came and they saw that child laying in that manger, then God may receive his honor. How? He may receive his honor as a God of mercy. That is to the honor of the triune God. When the Lord, he is revealing for the first time in the life of that people, or by renewal, when the Lord is revealing that holy child laying in that stable, and when the Lord is bringing these two things together, then the Lord, he is receiving his honor. It is a people who are sinking away. With wonder that there is a way for the chiefest of the sinners. A way that is appointed by God. And so the Lord, he is receiving his honor. And now the Lord, he says to his people, to that guilty manslayer, and he shall dwell in that city. Why? Because that is the way that the Lord is receiving his honor. Because the Lord, He is taking such a delight in the salvation of that people. When that guilty man slayer, he may run by faith, and he may dwell by faith in that city. Is there anything that is more pleasing unto the Lord? Is there anything in which the Lord is taking more delight? Is that not more to Him than whole burnt offering? And therefore I command, and He shall dwell in that city. His command, why? Because it is His delight. Oh, there is nothing that the Lord is taking more delight in than that a guilty manslayer may be given by that true faith to make use of that appointed offering of the Lord. Because in that manslayer, all that there is nothing then so great as the wisdom of God. And the Lord, He is receiving His honor in the heart of the people. His honor, when that people may flee unto that holiness and may seek to take refuge there in all their unholiness, all the honor, when that people may be given by that true faith to cast their burden upon His shoulders. Honor. Why? Because then it is the strength of His shoulders that is so manifest, that is experienced, that He is glorified for. That He is being honored in the heart of that people. Therefore He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Because He says, then I may take it up for you. And then I may be glorified by you. Glorified when that people they may believe in that holy child that is lying there, who has made that communion, who has brought together that divine and that human nature, and now glorified by that people who are so separated from Him because of their sin. Do you understand why that the Lord is commanding it? And they shall dwell in that city. Oh, it is because of the blessedness. It is because I have appointed it to be a fortress, to be a place of safety. Oh, when that faith that is not in exercise, then they are exposed to the curse, to that manslayer. How many times are God's people not slain by the law? And why? Because they leave that city. because they leave that city. They sin. They fall into some transgression. Sin, maybe that bosom sin, that has for a moment dominion over them. Their heart smites them. Their heart repents. They say, "Oh, what a fool." And I thought that I had it behind me. I thought that I had overcome it. And then they feel the separation. Do you know there are times when they do not even dare to go on their knees because of their sin? And they feel that curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. And now what happened? What happened to that sight that they were once given to see? That gladness when the Lord had showed to them that that holy child that was born there in that stable. And they rejoiced. But they cannot see it anymore. Or it can be that they have departed from the commandments, from the statutes of the Lord. That they have become vain in their imaginations. That they have left him and their heart smites them and their heart repents. They have left their first love. Oh, the wickedness. Oh, the vanity. Oh, the carnality of this evil heart. They lose all their comforts. They call themselves 1,000 fools. Oh, how I have hated instruction, and my heart that has despised reproof. And they try to go underneath. And the devil comes there too. And he says, "But you are just a man of the world. And now there is proof that it was never right with you." And then their own heart that is consenting to those words of the devil that said it was nothing, it is nothing, it shall be nothing, and there is no access, and they cannot imagine any more in their heart a beneficent God, but they still expect to perish. And he shall dwell in that city. Oh, how often do that people not leave that city and expose themselves to that avenger of blood? There is no protection there. There is no safety there. And that is the reason that the Lord, he is commanding that manslayer to dwell there. Not once. Not twice. No, he says you must live there every day. Why? Because there is a fountain here of guilt and of iniquity. And he says now in that city there is a fountain, there is a river. The streams whereof make glad the city of God. Oh, that is a fountain for your daily washing. That is a fountain for your daily cleansing, which is for you so necessary. Christ says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and he is withered, and men gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And he shall dwell in that city. Do you know what it means to dwell in that city? It means to experience forgiveness 70 times, 7 times. In the union with that city, O the bridegroom, he says, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Unfathomable wonder, the desire of that bridegroom. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And when that people, they may dwell in that city, and they may continue by faith to behold the joining of that holy child and that stable, then that people, they say, I am black but comely. They sink away to say, I am my beloved's. And his desire is toward me. Oh, the blessedness of that city. Dwelling in that city. For that bridegroom. And for that bride. That there may be a communion. Oh, that there may be a daily saying unto his bride. That I am thy bridegroom. Oh, wherefore are ye then fearful, O ye of little faith? And they shall dwell in that city. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in thy truth. Show to us the preciousness of thee for a wretched and a miserable creature, and give thy church not only to know it for once, but that they may know it every day. Oh, give them to dwell in that city, and cause us all together to see that we are the manslayer, that there is a safety in thee. Grant thy blessing on thy word, forgiving all our sins. Bring us safely home. Bring us with desire together again in this afternoon hour. For Jesus' sake, amen. 149, 1, 2, 5, and 6. On God alone my soul relies. And he will soon relieve. The Lord will hear my plaintive cries at morning, noon, and eve. 1, 2, 5, and 6 of 149. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.